On this Thursday afternoon, let's check now in on what happened in the futures markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. They're headquartered there for his office in Mandeville, Louisiana, but I believe he is in Dallas, Texas at this point. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd. And before I answer any questions, I want to also ask everyone to go to the website or call in and give that $120 donation to WLL Ag Programming. As you know, I've been part of this program for, I don't know, maybe going on 25 years or so. It's an excellent source of information for farmers. And I know that the internet audience is growing because every farm show I go to, as soon as they hear me speak, they'll come up and say, "Well, you must be Dan Zwicker because I hear you on the radio." So I would give a shout out to everyone that's listening to us on the internet and on the radio to help the ag programming of WLL with the donation.
Dan, it was kind of an ugly day in Chicago, especially for the soybeans, and there's some confusion about why they broke today. Do you have any inside information that you might be able to share about that?
Well, I think it was just one of these perfect storms that kind of hit the market today. There was just a barrage of a little bit of bearish news just about from all corners. We did have a very positive weekly export sales number. On beans here today, I think 1.2 million tons. We really are creeping up very closely to what USDA expects us to sell for the year. But the problem is that the trade feels that if South America does go ahead and grow a big crop, that we will get some sales cancellations along the line. But I think, for the most part, it was a market that tried to go higher earlier in the week. It failed. Technically, they're really clear the 62% retracement level of the summer fall decline on that January contract, which was right around the 1345, 1346 area. I think you saw a lot of technicians just give up looking at the calendar going into the week before Christmas here next week, and I think decided to start taking some profits. We also have a very big long soybean short corn spread trade on. That's been a very popular trade over the past 12 months, so you're seeing some liquidation in that. You've got your December contracts expiring here tomorrow on December corn and December wheat, and I think what we're seeing here is the March contracts kind of rolling down to where the December contracts have been trading before this break. So, and then I understand that Tom Colburn and Dianne Feinstein was going to propose legislation to do away with the ethanol mandate.
Yes, so they called it the Eliminate Corn Ethanol Act.
That's actually
what they called it, so it's there.
That got into the corn market, but I think if anybody seriously thinks that we're going to do Congress can pass anything in Washington anytime soon, I think they're crazy or hoot owl. Now, I do believe that there is no doubt about it. Ethanol has plenty of its enemies out there. They're going to try to gang up on the ethanol industry, but I do believe we'll be able to at least fight that off and hang on to what we got. That was part of the negative, but I think a lot of it is just December, and markets do a lot of irrational things during the month of December because you have a lot of position squaring and new positioning for the new year all taking place in front of the holidays and beans kind of look like they're probably set up to kind of have a hook reversal to the downside on beans this week. I'm not too worried about that because I still think the monthly reversal up during the month of November probably carries a little bit more weight on the technical front. Corn, I think corn's probably still going to close out the week a little higher, coming off that weekly reversal that we had last week. So we'll see what kind of follow-through we get tomorrow. My guess is the market will probably firm up in overnight trade, and we may finish out the week on a firm note.
Yeah, so we will get the follow-through tomorrow. The December contracts will go off the board. Will that mean everybody sort of finishes evening up at this point, and then next week we can get back to trading value, I suppose?
I think this was the last day of the Goldman roll. I think you had people roll. I think a lot of your fund people were rolling out of the January contract into the March contract. So I think that's the end of a lot of fund rolling.
My
guess is next week we'll get back to a more stable situation, but it will be light volume. I think as each day gets closer to next weekend, the volume will slow down. So we'll be kind of in a holiday-type market. But, the trade, let's face it, they're just terribly bearish when you look at supply-demand tables and what kind of shape we could get ourselves into if we have favorable weather next year. If South America raises a good crop and then the U.S. comes back with a good crop, we could find ourselves with a lot of supply around. So that's what the trade seems to want to focus on today compared to 2-3 years ago. We were worried about not having enough acres to meet ethanol demand and all the other demand that goes along with it. So it's a complete reversal of what we were thinking, 2 to 3 years ago, Todd.
Right. So let me ask you another question, because there are times when producers look at the front-end months, and we all do, and say, well, this is a bad deal across the board, or it's a good deal across the board. But really, you have to separate things into the old and the new crop. So the question at this point is, because we have, in particular for December corn, a $4.61.5 trade for next year, the 2014 new crop, at $4.28.25 for this year, how much concern do you have for the drop in the December 2014 crop based on normal growing conditions? Do producers need to consider protecting themselves for that corn crop? And how much downside risk is there in old crop because the bin doors have been closed? And would that be in the basis rather than in the futures market?
Well, a lot of it will probably depend upon what USDA issues as the final report.
In January.
And that'll give us a glimpse of what our first quarter key disappearance is going at. There's a lot of discussion on what our disappearance actually is. I question whether or not USDA's got the acres right yet. I still think that there could be some downward adjustment in acres. Others kind of feel that there could be some upward adjustments in yield. But corn has lost half its value off of its all-time high of 8.5. We're back here in this 4.25 range, so we've lost half the value. And corn is kind of doing what it needs to do. I mean, we're looking at less acres next year, people switching from corn to soybeans. We're seeing export demand pick up. We're seeing the ethanol production go up full throttle. We're seeing a small pickup in livestock numbers. So corn is rebuilding the demand base it lost when we were at 8.5 or 7.5 the last 2 years. So corn is at least, I think, moving in the direction that maybe downside risk in new crop corn may not be that great. But everybody, if the crop is as big as what everybody wants to make it, and that's still doubtful, I think I want to see USDA's January number before I get super bearish. But farmers are holding the grain, and as we know, when farmers hold the grain, that hedge pressure hangs over the market. So until that hedge pressure is absorbed into the marketplace, that old crop inventory has downside risk because it hasn't entered the pipeline. And as farmers sell it, commercials will put that hedge pressure on, and that is what's going to push the market lower. Now, whereas soybeans, I think farmers have done a pretty good job at emptying their inventory of soybeans, so that hedge pressure really doesn't overhang, at least from the U.S. point of view. It does from South America point of view. But a lot of it depends upon when it all happens. Some kind of feel it could happen this winter. Others kind of feel that farmers may hang on to it all the way into next summer until they see what new crop is. But somewhere in here, we're going to have a flush out of old crop inventory unless there's a weather factor or some outside influence that comes along and absorbs the supply before it all comes to town. But there's a lot of inventory out there to move, and my guess is that maybe this $4 corn futures is going to be good support, and maybe what we'll see is basis now do the reverse of what it's been doing over the past couple of years, where we've had premium basis levels of upwards of 50, 60 cents above the board. We may go down underneath the futures market 50, 60 cents. So that would be my speculation at this point.
Well, I'm glad I'm in the middle of fundraising, Dan.
The basis ain't there yet. Actually, the basis is still pretty strong.
Yeah, I know.
And I know farmers don't like this $4 corn. I know they don't like that. That isn't very attractive. But there is some risk there. And it's going to be hard. You can't protect yourself from basis risk. You can protect yourself from price risk, but if you go out and try to start buying some puts, you're quickly going to find out that they're very expensive, and I'm not too sure a put will work when you pay a lot of money for it, because I think the real risk could be more in the basis than probably on the board on corn. Actually, when you look at the corn-soybean ratio and the movement of more acres of soybeans, there might be more futures risk, price risk, in the soybean complex and probably in the corn complex.
Dan, thanks so much. Have a good weekend there in Texas.
Same to you, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon.